it's the last show before Takeover Chicago. I don't know why I'm jazz handing. So with this go home episode, it's probably going to be jam packed full of a whole bunch of stuff that'll be previewing for the weekend, right? In a matter of speaking, it was. We're going to be talking about all of that as well as a little bit about 205 Live right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's E3 week. They announced a new Doom. We're all fans of Doom on the show, even the not present Bill Hanstock. So you know what? We're listening to a little bit of some BFG. This, man, I gotta go back and play this game. If you haven't played the 2016 Doom, it's so good. Eternal mood is this Doom. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm one of your hosts, the internet's Mark B. Donica, joined as always by the one, the only, Mr. Robert Baines.
That's right. Yeah.
And Bill Hanstock, who isn't here,
but Invisible Bill!
Invisible Bill, he's on and around E3, and he's a very busy man.
He's doing his thing.
And he comes in when he can, and he's pretty regulatory. But we're all really excited.
Yeah. He's a regulatory entity?
Exactly.
What does he regulate? What would Bill Hanstock regulate?
Jesse the Body Ventura impressions?
Yeah. Maybe shoes. Think he'd regulate the quality of footwear. That is a very Bill Hanstock thing. You don't know at home, because even if you're watching this on YouTube, everything is from about the waist down. But he's
on purpose.
He's always got the kicks.
Bill's a waist down kind of guy.
He really is. Yeah.
Play it now. Switch this off and play the game. Man, I want to get it for... I'm going to get it for Switch so that I can play it again. I had it for Xbox. Slenderous Mambo, it's the canceled show with Mark and Baines.
Yeah. Super canceled.
Man, if you know some of our regular stuff that we've ever done... Yeah, canceled. but it's Takeover week. We're getting a Chicago this Saturday, and I'm excited, but I'm also a little alarmed because I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be on vacation literally in the woods. We're going to Big Bear, so we're going to be away from it all and away from noise and everything. And when we scheduled, it's like, yeah, it'll be fine. And then I went, oh, it's a Takeover weekend, and you know what? That's fine.
I mean, you could watch it in Big Bear.
Depending on how, like, chill we are, like, we're going to barbecue, we're going to do this and that. Yeah. We're going to try to be as in the element as we can. But then, like, hold on. 2-hour break. If this television can hook up to the internet, I'm going to put on the WWE Network and we're going to watch wrestling. Maybe not, whatever. Maybe. That's not what it's about.
If you got a Roku, you can bring that with you.
Oh, we have a Google thing.
Yeah.
Google gimmick.
Maybe...
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the 205 Live NXT Power Hour, which is what we've slowly become. 205 Live this week, pretty good. Pretty solid.
The formula persists.
Mm-hmm. There's a tag match varying between the 4- and 6-man versions, as well as a bit of an enhancement match with a popular talent, whether they be a good guy or a bad guy. And then a hard-hitting main event. But even so, Tony Nese still hasn't achieved that level for me yet. He's an amazing performer. He's got a great look. His promos are pretty solid. I was a little confused as to why Mustafa Ali Mustafa Ali did the iPhone style, like the vlog style promo, but Nese had a camera on a tripod while he was working out in the back with like full HD and all that
and
stuff.
And a cameraman, because
there was a lower third.
He had a lower third.
It was the 205 Live Tony Nese, whereas Mustafa Ali had the card up front, which is very weird that these two were a part of the main event, but they had such varying styles. Either way, it was a fun show. The Lucha House Party versus Gulak, Kendrick, and Gallagher was wild. Lucha House Party was on fire. Really? I mean, it's not like they're not, but...
Well, right, no, but it was very... The match had a lot of ups and downs. It was quite a roller coaster of emotion, and I wasn't 100% sure where this was going to go, who exactly was going to get the upper hand out of this battle between the six of these individuals, because they've sort of been building to this for so long. It's been weeks and weeks, and now we're finally here having this 6-man tag, and I think the Lucha House Party really showed that the skills that Lucha gives you the ability to move around your opponents. Mm-hmm. The agility that it offers you makes you really hard to catch. But at the same time, the pure wrestling that the other team uses...
That's a good way to put it, pure wrestling.
Right. I mean, just both American and British styles meshed together, hard-hitting, and just a lot of joint work. Mm-hmm. Very, very... tough and technical.
They were keeping that. They were trying to keep them as low and slow to the ground as possible.
That's what you have.
You
to
have
do.
To do it with
they
with
get any momentum. Yeah. They're going to be impossible to catch,
especially with the way that Grand Metalik can move on dem ropes.
Yeah,
it's almost impossible to catch him once he gets going.
Exactly.
But this was a solid start to the show. A little concerned with Lince Dorado grabbing the tights to get the win.
That was interesting because that went very. Sort of back and forth. It started with, was it Drew Gulak? He was making use of the tights at first. I think it was Drew.
I think it was Drew.
And then they sort of kept trying to go back to the tights, and wouldn't you know it, Lince Dorado grabbed the tights right at the very end and was able to get the three count with the leverage of the tights.
Does it justify the fact that it was used on them first? Does that sort of change the scope as opposed to just... Dorado pulling it out of nowhere and grabbing the tights? Does that sort of that seems like more one-upsmanship, right, than and even outmaneuvering and out wrestling that the good guys are supposed to do? But it makes them a little bit trickier of like, anything you could do, we can do better.
Right, but I don't know. I always liked my baby faces to not necessarily go to their depths, the heels' depths. Mm-hmm. Dusty Rhodes is a great example. You know, he gets his ass kicked. The heels lighten him up with, let's say, a loaded boot. Then all of a sudden, Dusty's got his hands on the boot. He looks like he's going to hit the heel. He ditches the boot. He's not going to hit him with the same thing that he's been worked over the entire match. He's going to beat him with everything that Dusty Rhodes is. And that's what I feel a babyface should be.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That being said... I personally, as a good guy wrestler, have never been above doing that sort of tactic.
Well, to be fair, and this isn't me making fun of your life choices,
yeah,
but you're physically dirty. So the transition of you doing something a little dirty, it's,
yeah,
like, well, he's a hobo.
Right, exactly. Any way to win. But I don't know if that...
But there's also, we've been talking a lot about styles for something that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, but there is a hobo style of fighting.
Yeah.
So, like...
Pocket sand! Yeah, ah!
It's you incorporating that into your style, whereas, like, this was very reciprocal.
This wasn't Lucha. They didn't beat them with Lucha. They beat them with a tight grab, which is...
But this tells me that because... I think that Gulak especially is going to go to Drake Maverick and be like, that wasn't fair what they did. Even though he did it, he's going to come to them and say, they beat us with a dirty underhanded trick. We deserve another shot.
Yeah, I can imagine that being
and maybe step. And maybe that's pre-show Money in the Bank.
Could be.
Maybe.
Take time to tell.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Akira Tozawa versus Joey Irby?
Something. Said Joey, King of Moonsault.
And then they were calling
him
Irby.
Irby.
He put up a bit of a fight, but Tozawa just had his number the whole time.
He looked probably a little bit more polished than most of the guys they have on local talent, so to speak. He actually looked pretty good. He moved pretty well. But against Akira Tozawa... Yeah, you got to bring something to the table against Akira Tozawa because he hits so hard. Everything he does is done with maximum impact and maximum force that you've got to match him or come close or else you really don't have a chance. Irby tried, but he really didn't have it.
He throws his whole body at you, whether it's physically his entire body or he puts his entire body behind a kick or he puts his entire body behind a fist to sort of... you know, he gets a super mushroom, so to speak, and he makes himself bigger. Yeah. So instead of physically making himself bigger, he has the tact to act with a lot more strength behind everything he does.
Well, that's what happens when you're an undersized wrestler in a business full of giants, is you learn how to hit harder in order to ground your opponent or try and throw him off or knock him out or whatever the case may be. You have to learn how to be stronger to fight stronger guys, because Tozawa is not the biggest guy. Mm-hmm. He's on 205, but even height-wise, he wouldn't be able to get any taller. And it's just served him to get stronger and to get more vicious with his strikes and learn how to use his entire body as a weapon.
Yeah, and we saw that here. I know he usually gets height with the diving, I say diving, but the jumping senton. But he looked like he got almost to the top rope of a second ring that was stacked on top of the first one. He's a madman. Tozawa gets the win. We hear a little bit from TJP. It's the same old Garbo. But also we got the main event was Mustafa Ali versus Tony Nese. Buddy Murphy ends up coming down. Cedric Alexander ends up coming down. What did you think of this main event?
It was pretty good. Mustafa Ali is still my favorite in 205. Mm-hmm. Grand Metalik, a close second. But Brian Kendrick, of course, a standout. But there's something about Mustafa Ali.
Had to get that last one in there.
Of course. Yeah. There's something about him, Mustafa Ali, that I don't know. It's he's always fighting uphill. You always feel for him. No matter who it is he's fighting, it's never an easy night for him. He always looks like he's just a little bit outclassed. And it's really his heart that gets him out of any and all situations. And against Tony Nese, he simply didn't have the strength. Tony Nese is for lack of a better term, a machine, just built to go. And he does a bit of high-flying, but against Mustafa Ali, that's not what's going to get you a win over Mustafa Ali. It's brute force. And you definitely saw that when he simply grabbed Mustafa Ali and threw him into the post. I and Robert Baines enjoyed that quite a lot. He really did.
The manhandling of it all.
Yeah, just no. Yeah, I had a match like that recently.
Yeah,
it was a made TV hit.
Okay, we'll get there. How many people have you killed in Arizona on television as a professional wrestler, not legitimately?
Two. I think we're into six. The last one I wrestled in Arizona, I didn't kill. And that was my mistake.
You saved a man's life that night.
No, I lost focus. Oh. I got the win, but I didn't kill him.
All right.
That was my mistake.
I expect better of you next time.
Yes.
Solid 205 tonight. Let's talk about some NXT. Actually, really quickly, before we go to NXT, I just wanted to mention iTunes. We haven't gotten new reviews on iTunes yet. If you're watching us on iTunes, we're also available in audio format on iTunes. Just look for NXT After Show. Leave us a review. 5 stars, because the rest of the stars don't work. But leave us a comment. Leave us a review. It helps us excel and helps us show up. When people are looking for wrestling podcasts, it helps us sort of appear near the top. And we're fun, right? Right?
Right, guys?
Yeah?
Right.
I mean, we have a pretty good time.
We're all right. We're
Let that drag off a little bit. We're the NXT team. We have a good time. We give you some hard-hitting wrestling analysis as well as hog jokes. But aside from that...
I mean, not yet, but yeah, now that you mention it.
You know, it's synergy.
Synergy.
Product synergy.
Synergy.
So head on over to iTunes, leave us a review. Also, if you're listening to us on iTunes, head on over to AfterBuzz TV Wrestling, which is our wrestling channel that we're being featured at from the fine folks at AfterBuzz TV. And we've got a Raw show. We've got a SmackDown show. You're on the Raw show.
Yep. On Monday.
Coming back is the Lucha Underground show, which debuts tonight. The after show is going to be starting next week, though. And of course, what I think, two shows that I think are the highlight of the network are general discussion shows. Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly, which has been getting a lot of attention. It's hosted by TK Trinidad. I'm a big fan of hers. She's a friend of the show.
She was on Raw with me.
She's on Raw with you.
She hosted because I made her.
And and X-Pac 12360, which is a show with Sean X-Pac Waltman. We had Sean Ricker known as Eli Drake in a former TNA
what
world.
What did you call him on the show?
Eli Drake. Okay. But especially because we had Sean Waltman and Sean Ricker.
Two Shawns.
So, yeah, that's why I would refer to him as Ricker. But
it was
a great show. We had a wonderful discussion. He talked about his time at NXT. He talked about his time being managed by Percy Pringle, which everybody knows as Paul Bearer. And it was a wonderful discussion about just the state of professional wrestling right now. And also, Sean gave his 2 cents on NJPW Dominion and some of the other top headlines.
Did he enjoy it?
Well, he only watched the Naito Jericho and Okada Kenny match.
My God, yeah.
Yeah. So
I got asked about that today on the street. Mm-hmm. I was wearing one of my New Japan shirts. They're like, did you watch Okada Omega? I'm like, not yet, unfortunately.
63 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. Was a barn burner, mm-hmm. what I hear.
And so, yeah, make sure to check us out on iTunes. Check us out on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling. And while we're doing promotions, just something while I have everybody's attention, I wanted to I need your help. I want your participation. I'm going to be appearing on Geek and Sundry tomorrow on Twitch for a show that they call Lore Masters. It's hosted by a friend of mine, Ryan Green, as well as Hector Navarro. They dive deep into various lores featuring various topics. There was professional wrestling, Middle Earth, or no, it's there's going to be professional wrestling. That's the one I'm doing, but it was Middle Earth, Marvel, a lot of different stuff revolving creativity. Ryan is a wonderful guy, and he's very inquisitive. He asked me to come in to do a show on the lore of professional wrestling, and that's a bunch of various different things that I'm trying to study up on and be ready with. But I'm gonna need y'all, if you're on Twitch, and I know Matt's on Twitch. Hi, Matt. Anybody else that is on Twitch, make sure to head to Geek and Sundry tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, wherever that may be in the world for you. Head on over to Twitch to Geek and Sundry to check me out on Lore Masters. I'm going to be talking about professional wrestling. I'm going to say this again at the end of the show. But thank you. Thank you for your time. Let's talk about NXT. It gets started with the War Raiders, which we were discussing this. Hi,
yeah.
I have to talk for an hour and a half tomorrow as a quote expert. But we were discussing about the War Raiders. There's something extra that they need for their music, for their impact. They alone are an impact. But there's something like EC3, his music, even Cassius Ohno.
Yep.
Just about everybody
well, in the industry,
has something.
It's called a signature.
Yeah.
It is the little thing on the front of everybody's music. It is a moment that identifies who is coming out, and that allows the audience to immediately identify what's about to happen and who it is that's coming down to the ring. The War Raiders, as of yet, do not have that. Mm-hmm. They have the drums, but they need... I don't know what it is. I don't know yet what they should have to identify them. All I know is they don't have it.
And it's the past couple of times that they've come out, I'm like, who is this? Who's coming out? And then it hits light, like, oh, that's right, it's the War Raiders. And,
yeah.
And they don't deserve that. There's such a bigger and better tag team that deserve that. They're not, I feel bad saying this, they're not the Ely Brothers, but I know the Ely Brothers music,
right?
So it's one of those things that's going to take time to be like, ah, generic metal, that's War Raiders. Even with like Lars Sullivan, who has kind of a general chug of guitar, he has the scream at the top that makes
right.
you go, oh, Lars Sullivan just killed a woman and is coming
yeah,
out to the ring.
It's a little
or killed someone.
Wait, it's a little. I think Exorcist is the thing they're ripping on there.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
I think it's Exorcist.
Yeah, that sounds good. So War Raiders need something like that, and I would say Aaliyah needs that too because she used to have the really long.
Yeah,
like
it was like a music
box.
Sounded like a music box.
But and that's gone, and they didn't hit Aaliyah on her video, and I was like, who's coming out? And they waited until Morrow. Sorry for boring you. Until Morrow finally said, Aaliyah's coming out. But let's get back to War Raiders. This was ridiculous.
This was just an exercise in punishment.
Too dominant. I would say.
Too dominant.
Yeah, too dominant. The
yes.
number two dominant.
Because they're a tag team.
Yeah.
There's two of them.
Duh.
Yeah.
PW Gregory suggests a gruff yet sexy voice shouting war. Agreed. Bill Hanstock. But you want
to war?
War.
Gruff yet sexy.
But this was just a huge display of power and ability. A lot of tossing their opponents around. Justin Storm and Ricky Martinez.
Yes, I know Justin Storm from the Florida area. Yeah. I've been on a few shows with him. Very gifted in movement. Did not help him at all this evening.
No, he couldn't get away fast enough.
Could not handle it. He got caught at every single turn, and the War Raiders throw just absolutely. Now, Akira Tozawa throws everything he has with his size. The War Raiders throw everything they have with their size. The size difference is enough to turn your hair gray.
It's important.
It is. It's just pure weight and force. And watching Reiro just throw Hansen around is disturbing. It is scary that the smaller of the two is just as strong as the bigger of the two. It actually is kind of a problem when you're wrestling them because you do not know who to take out. Like, well, I could take out the really big guy, but the other one can still kill me.
You get lost in his beard like it's Narnia. You see a light shining through. It's the lamppost with Mr. Tumnus is dancing around. And P.W. Gregory again, was that too random of a reference?
No. It's just like, I don't know why that was the pull, but okay.
Did they almost drop that guy right on the top of his head? A little bit.
Yeah. Almost.
A little bit.
They weren't so scared about killing a man.
No, they're the War Raiders.
Yeah.
They pillage.
They do.
That's the only part of that expression they do.
They pillage. They plunder.
There you go. Plunder's good.
Plunder.
Plunder's good. I don't know. Never mind. I was about to go to a really random ass place that is related to the Popeye theme song. But they challenge back the Mighty. You call yourselves the Mighty. This is where they almost killed the man. You were there.
Yeah.
And
you were there.
Danger, 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 danger. This poor man. Oh my God.
That is something we say in the dojo quite a bit. Danger.
Danger. Really? Is that from Shibata-san?
Yes, Shibata-san. Danger.
Danger. Danger. Danger, Shibata-san. Danger. Pepsi Fan 24. War Raiders are deceptively great athletes. First time I saw them, I was in awe of their movement. Yeah.
No, I can agree. I was too. They're guys who actually do get bigger when they get on the other side of the curtain. You see them backstage and you go, oh, they're kind of big guys. And then you see them out in the middle of the ring and you go, oh, they own that space. That is theirs. And if you are stepping into it against them, you better bring everything that you have. Mm-hmm. Absolutely everything. Because they can take it and dish it out.
Mm-hmm. We have a question from chat from Bradley Tucker. How many times does Hobo hit the gym per week?
I exercise 6 or 7 times a week. Sometimes twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But at least 6 or 7 times a week.
Yep.
Focusing on various parts of your body, I assume?
Well, I enjoy weightlifting. Weightlifting is something that I actually have fun doing.
That's cool.
And my body likes it, but unfortunately, it slows you down. So I have to work on the cardio and movement aspects more than the weightlifting. And that's the hard part for me. But I'm at least doing the movement-based stuff 5 to 6 times a week and then lifting weights 2 to 3, like heavy weights 2 to 3.
Damn.
Now, it was 3 to 4, and I really would like to get it back up to 3 to 4.
But then also, I figure your schedule changes when you're at the New Japan Dojo.
Yeah, that's totally different. Mm-hmm. That is, when I'm at the dojo, I am completely focused on the dojo.
Mm-hmm.
That may change soon because of the way I'm understanding my body and the training.
Mm-hmm.
I need the weight training in addition with the New Japan training just to keep my body together. But
yeah,
it's so taxing. That way of training, the Japanese style, is so taxing. It takes every ounce of energy you have.
It's good. That's good. A lot of people in the chat chiming in. Hobos don't need to go to the gyms. They have their own workout. He literally hits the gym. That's why his knuckles are always bleeding.
Yep.
And you work out in the train yard, yeah. Pulling trains.
Hobo for Your Health. It's a video series I did years and years ago. So you should definitely look it up.
Hobo for Your Health. Please check it out. That was so much fun. Goodness.
They were great.
They were.
They really were.
I don't know if Baines should be doing Hobo for Your Health, but man.
No, he has his own gym. He has a private gym.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right. We got a video for Gargano and Ciampa. Did this do anything to sort of reinvigorate how this match is going to go on Saturday for you?
For me, it's cemented that it's definitely the main event.
Yeah.
And it can't really be anything else because of just the way they're building it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the longest story arc on the show. So it kind of has to be...
From Chicago last year.
Yeah, it kind of has to be the main event.
Mm.
The match between Sullivan and Black, while I do want to see it more for kind of what it's going to bring out of both individuals, mm-hmm. and sort of that match has larger implications for their careers from that point forward, in my opinion, that match is the match that people are more emotionally invested in.
Agreed. One of the things that popped out for me is there's a moment where Gargano was starting to say he made me, and they showed footage of Candace and him bumping into Candace, and to which Ciampa said he put his wife in that situation. And right. I went, you're right.
I didn't do Jack
Diddley. I didn't do anything, man. He did all of that stuff. And I went, you're right.
Yes.
Ciampa, you mad genius. Let's talk about EC3 versus Cassius Ohno. This was pretty short. Nobody ran through. Johnny Gargano didn't run through and ruin EC3's match.
Surprise.
Legitimately. But EC3 took a beating. Cassius Ohno beat the hell out of him.
He can dish.
Yeah.
Cassius Ohno, he can definitely dish it out. And you saw a little bit more power from Cassius Ohno than you generally see, which... I think it's necessary when you're wrestling a guy like EC3, who is really built, really, really a strong competitor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see him use his strength so much, but obviously in his physique, it is ever present. He trains at a top tier. He's the top 1%. That is both monetarily and physically. Rarely does anybody... come along who looks like EC3 looks, and you have to be able to be strong to look like that.
He is the top 1%.
Yeah.
And he's singing along to his theme song as he was coming out. He probably works out to it. Like, he probably listens to it like, well, all right.
Probably.
That, he goes on YouTube, he finds a 10-hour loop of that song, and that's how he spends his day. Just... running errands, whatever. He's just like, you know what? Self-affirming. I am the top 1%.
Yeah. When he leaves a tip at a restaurant, 1%. He's kind of bad.
But he goes to like high cost places, so it's still like really, it's still a really expensive tip, but not for the amount of food that he's getting.
Still, it should be way more than it is.
Cassius loses again. Oh no!
Oh no!
Dang MQ. Oh yes. Sharkasaur, EC3's skin tone tonight was cabinet.
Yeah.
He was so we keep thinking
put
he
him
can't
up against a brick wall and he'll just fade into it.
That was Ricker today. That was funny. Oh man. It's been so great watching EC3 work, and I can't wait to see what's next for him. He wins with the top 1% or the 1%er or whatever they're calling the TKO.
Yeah.
And
he did it on Ohno, and Ono's not a small guy.
No.
It's a large body to move around, and he did it with relative ease.
Mm-hmm.
So I think EC3 could put up a good fight against anyone.
But I also think in this match particularly, Cassius got too wrapped up in the match itself, because he was interrupting a photo shoot where he was eating his own fist, but it's one of those things where he got too in his head about I'm going to beat this guy. And it wasn't about, like, he had so many opportunities where he could have and should have gone for the pin, but he didn't.
It wasn't, I'm going to beat this guy. It's, I'm going to beat up this guy.
Yeah, I'm
going to
beat up this guy. Yeah. This guy's a jerk. But he hit him with the rolling kick, and then he hit two sentons. There was plenty of time for him to grab EC3, bring him back to the middle, and cover him. But he didn't. He let him roll out. And went, nah, all right, cool, here we go. And like, there is a lot of time that was wasted in, I'm going to beat this guy up versus I'm going to beat this guy.
Yeah, what is the point of a wrestling match? To win. He got wrapped up, and as a result, he deserves to lose.
Yeah.
Because he allowed his opponent to get away from him so many times. He was lackadaisical with his covers.
Dave?
Lackadaisical.
I came up with a new term for
that's pretty funny. Good. That's funny. He deserves to lose. Mm-hmm. You lost track of what your job was in the ring. And so this is what happens.
And that's why he lost. I wonder where KO is going to pop up next. What other sort of backstage antics someone will interrupt him doing? Mm-hmm. Bianca Belair versus... Oh, it's Aaliyah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And this was Aaliyah debuting a new look, almost Elektra-esque in color.
Right, yeah. It still was kind of red-ish.
Well, it was orange.
Which is reddish.
Fine. But it wasn't like Adobe. It wasn't, you know, Adobe. It wasn't ketchup. It was like that. It was a ketchup mustard mix that you sometimes do with your fries.
Yeah.
But it... She did what she could against the EST of NXT. Bianca Belair has consistently, even when she lost to Kairi Sane in the Mae Young Classic last year.
It was a learning experience for her.
And it wasn't an easy victory for Kairi either. Nope. So consistently, Bianca Belair has proven that she is what she says. She is the EST of NXT. And she deserves to be in the title picture. I understand why Nikki is in the title picture for the Saturday, but I, with what we get later in the match after she beats Aaliyah, not with the deadlift, right. Gorilla press slam, but with the spin out, she challenges Dakota Kai in what I could assume it might be like a soft number one contendership match, because Dakota Kai is great. But at the same time, she's been losing a lot. Whereas Bianca Belair, even her one loss was significant. And I'd seen nothing but an upward trajectory for whoever wins the NXT Women's Championship, whether it's the champion or Nikki, whoever wins, it's Bianca is not too far behind. I would say even more so than Kairi Sane or Lacey Evans.
Yeah, I might agree with you there. But if there's going to be a number one contendership match, I think it has to be Bianca Belair, sure, and maybe Lacey Evans or Kairi Sane.
Mm-hmm.
Who won their last match? Why can't I remember?
It was Kairi, because Lacey couldn't get the wins right off.
So it's got to be Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair.
Even if Bianca loses against Dakota Kai, which I don't see that happening...
Dakota Kai.
I would still put. I would do this if Bianca loses to Dakota Kai, Kairi Bianca becomes a triple threat match with Dakota Kai in it. But no matter what, in terms of fighting for the number one contendership, Bianca's up there, Kyrie's up there, and then right below them is Dakota and Lacey.
Yeah. So make it a four way for the number one contendership.
If we get another solid fatal four way women's match. Like, it's a generational thing, you know, like we had way back when with the Four Horsewomen, and then with Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, who were the other two? I think Peyton and one other person that I can't remember.
Was it Peyton and Billy?
Maybe.
Might have been Peyton and Billy.
Maybe. Either way.
There was a talk of one of them should pin the other.
No, that was the title match. That was the NXT title match a couple months ago. But I Bianca Belair is what she says she is, and this was even more of a dominant showing of that. And we so to sort of accelerate through that, we got a Shayna Nikki promo for Saturday, and that match is going to flippin' rule.
It came out of nowhere, but that's okay.
Yeah, but it came out of nowhere right. In the best way. It's like, wait, if she's supposed to be afraid of everybody, Nikki Cross.
right. And Nikki Cross can just sort of get away with anything because she's absolutely crazy.
Pepsi fan predicting Bianca will be champ by year's end. I can see that. It depends. I'd say depends on what they want to do with Shayna. I don't think Shayna will go up until... we're not talking about that right now. Yeah. But, then we go back to Good Luck Kath, who's with Dakota Kai again, and we're like, something bad's going to happen now. And she's the bearer of bad news.
She is.
But Dakota's, like, high on herself because I finally got a chance to stand up to Shayna. I may have lost, but... I have the confidence of knowing that I can do it. She's going to become the NXT Women's Champion one day. Not if Bianca Belair has anything to say about it. You're talking to her? Excuse me. I'm taking over this interview. Hi, I'm Bianca Belair. I'm the EST man. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Rude woman.
You're just going to cry and fail. It's my time. And I'm like, yeah. Yes, it is. So next week at Chicago, it's going to be Dakota Kai versus Bianca Belair.
Dakota Kai is the new Bayley.
Yeah.
We just love you, but God, man, she cannot win.
So we're going to be getting that from Chicago next week. All right, let's talk about this main event. Kyle O'Reilly versus Pete Dunne for the UK title. I think I can say this for you. We're never surprised that a UK match ends up being good, but there are times when we go into it where we're like, what are they going to do? And they're always unique. So far, I think there's every opponent to the champion, whether it was Pete Dunne or whether it was Tyler Bate, every opponent has brought something different to the match. And Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne's match was hard-hitting and rough and gross.
Had a lot of technical skill involved. In addition to being both hard-hitting and kind of gnarly to watch, there was a lot of technical skill on display.
Yeah.
A lot of arm work from Pete Dunne and a lot of leg work from Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, a large target right on Pete Dunne's left leg from when they jumped him. 1 or 2 weeks ago. But it obviously was good enough for him to wrestle on, but having it bandaged like that, it just makes it an enormous target. And as soon as Pete Dunne opened himself up to the possibility of that being used against him, Kyle O'Reilly kicked him right in the leg to probably the most advantageous possible moment. Right when Dunne was about to do that backflip, he kicked him right in the leg, and Dunne just ate it going backwards.
At the same time, though, I think Dunne was very aware of his injury, and anytime he would get hit, he would change his strategy to where he would move it to a more defensive. He would move to a more defensive position to protect that leg, or change how he would keep Kyle O'Reilly down. And a couple comments from the chat. Dang MQ said, so Kyle O'Reilly was bland in Ring of Honor, but in NXT, he's great.
Because I think he is being given direction in how to approach things and how to be something that's more than just a wrestler. You know, you always have to think of yourself as a brand in professional wrestling. And I don't know if he ever did. What is the Kyle O'Reilly brand?
I think we're starting to figure that out now.
Now it's starting to actually take shape. There's starting to be substance there. He's very technical, but he's a dweeb of the highest caliber.
When he first showed up, I didn't get it. Everybody's like, "Oh, Kyle O'Reilly, great!" And I went, "I haven't seen anything interesting yet." And I think this is one of the benefits of the Performance Center. And all of the stuff that it does is I kind of, despite his past, I would consider Kyle O'Reilly now a homegrown WWE product because they took the unformed clay and they're shaping it. Like they took a talent that had name recognition and it's becoming something that is working in the WWE product. And I'm a big fan of it now. Sharkosaur also said, I'm all for lovable douche Kyle O'Reilly, but I like when they let him cut loose and let him kick ass. Agreed.
Right.
It gives, it's why he feels like he can do the air guitar with the belt.
And it's those two opposing things that make him something that's interesting to watch, because he's stupid. He's very stupid, but he also can wrestle. And it's those two dueling dynamics that make you go, I respect him, but I hate him.
Yeah. So we got to shoot through this pretty quickly. Well, P.W. Gregory said one last thing. At the end of the sequence between Dunn and O'Reilly, when Dunn threw the forearm, I made a noise, one that fractured the fifth dimension. And then I saw a bright light, and Copernicus was there. And it's like, yeah, some of these hits were just gross.
Yeah. It's finding the exact moment to take advantage of a moment and throwing everything you have into it. And that's what that forearm was, just everything.
Well, because Dunn, it's almost like he makes contact and then pushes out.
Yes, absolutely. It's complete follow-through. It's not here. You never hit somebody to their cheek. You're thinking about, I want to force my fist through their head.
Hot.
That is what makes the real impact.
Gross.
And that's what the forearm is that he throws. It is, I am trying to really hit your far shoulder through your head.
The last comment that I'm going to say before we move on, just because it's a name that I don't recognize and I want to welcome them. The E. McCarthy 23 would love to see inside Kyle O'Reilly's mind on the way to the ring. I'm going to give you a thing. It's like this. It's probably I rock. I'm Kyle. It's something like that.
Yeah, he's driving a go-kart. And
it's the...
Yeah.
But it's to the music. All right. Next week we get confirmed Kai versus Belair and the Mighty versus War Raiders. Awesome. Lucky Chicago. They're getting two amazing matches. And then Aleister Black comes out, thinks that Lars has his number, but it's going to end the same way that it always does. But Lars comes out, hits three freak accidents, and then lays him out on the table, holds up the NXT championship.
That's quite a statement, even though he didn't say anything at all.
Nope.
That, I think, is what Lars Sullivan needs.
A couple weeks ago.
He doesn't need a lot of fancy words. He just needs to come in and just break stuff. And
they watched the show, clearly. Because a couple of weeks ago we talked about it, and then this episode.
Let Aleister Black be the one that is loquacious.
I wanted to hear him talk, but this guy beat him up. I don't want him to win. So the last thing we're going to do before we go, we're going to do quick Takeover Chicago predictions. Shayna Baszler versus Nikki Cross.
Baszler, probably.
Baszler, too. I think Nikki might get a little bit too crazy, maybe even get disqualified. Maybe.
That'd be fun. Count out, maybe.
Maybe. Double count out?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe where they just brawl.
Have to do it again.
Yeah. Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream.
Probably Ricochet.
I'm going to say Dream.
Really?
I think this is the one that Dream's going to get the win on, because Ricochet is still, he is shooting up to the sky, and I think... I will probably get another one too, but I think it will be a decisive victory for Dream.
Really?
And we'll get another match between these two.
Whoa.
Or at least that's what I want, because Velveteen Dream is perfect.
Right.
Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Chicago Street Fight.
He's got to be Gargano again.
Yeah, I mean, we thought Ciampa was going to win the last time, which would then extend to something like this. But I don't know why they would do another match and not have Ciampa win.
Yeah.
So I'm just for
I want a Candice on a pole match.
That's next. Well, they'll put her in the shark cage. Try to sell the shark cage again. Yeah. Oh God.
Love it.
They might. I think they're going to do that.
Love it.
Damn it.
That's how Gargano wins. Is she comes out and levels the playing field, and then
and Ciampa ends up getting the advantage, and then they have her there, but she's in the shark cage. Why is she in the shark cage? She should be fighting Ciampa, and Gargano should be in the shark cage.
Yeah!
Anyway.
Oh my God, I'm still in.
Damn it. Aleister Black versus Lars Sullivan.
It's got to be Black.
It's got to be Black unless Lars wins by DQ.
Or, I don't know. That actually, I'm kind of up in the air. That has huge implications for both of those guys. Mm-hmm. This literally, I think, will be the test for, can Aleister Black fight well above his weight class, and can Lars Sullivan look as monstrous as he is supposed to.
Yeah.
This is a really important match for these two coming up.
And then Undisputed Era versus Oney and Tui.
Undisputed Era. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
I think that we might see Bobby Fish come out from his injury and be a deciding factor in this. But that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be covering Chicago in its entirety. So we're going to be covering the two matches that are going to air next Wednesday, as well as TakeOver Chicago. So make sure to join us then. If you haven't subscribed, please do. We've got a lot of great content. But until then, Hobo, where can the folks find you?
Well, you can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at BanesDestroy. And we've got Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Like I said, I just came back. That was fun. And Championship Wrestling from Arizona. That is always, always a good show. And I get to be Robert Baines as much as Robert Baines can be Robert Baines.
Gross.
So much fun.
You can follow Bill at Sundown Motel. He's been doing a lot of stuff at E3 this week. And he's also joined back with the fine folks at the McMansplaining podcast at uprocks.com. So go ahead and check them out. I'm Mark Bidonica. Make sure to check me out tomorrow on Geek and Sundry on Twitch. I'm going to be doing the lore of professional wrestling. And I need some fact checkers. I might have you watch and be on text messages to correct me.
Okay. Either,
maybe.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun. Check me out there at Mark Bidonica. Also, right now, if you're a video game fan, head on over to Popcorn Talk. We're going to be doing our E3 recap. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about our favorites, how Kingdom Hearts took over the flipping weekend. But that'll do it for this episode of the NXT After Show. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
See you in Chicago.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.